So what is this coming Wednesday? I heard youth group. What else is it? Women's Bible study? It is Vietnam Veterans Day. So for those of you that were in the military during that period of time or served there, that's your day. And if you were in the military during that time, would you stand up at this time? If you were in the military at the time, there we go. Okay. Ken, Gary, John, thank you very much. I'd like to make you all a little bit aware of what that day is about. The Vietnam Memorial Wall holds 58,287 names of young men and a few young women who gave their lives in Vietnam for the Republic of South Vietnam and our country. 58,267 young men and women. 39,996 of them were just 22 years old. 8,283 were 19. I was 19 at that time. 33,103 were just 18. 12 were 17 years old. 5 soldiers were 16. There are 3 sets of fathers and sons on the wall. 31 sets of parents lost 2 of their sons whose names were on that wall. 997 were killed the very first day they were in country. 1,448 died the last day they were in country. 8 women are on the wall, all nurses. 244 soldiers were awarded the Medal of Honor during that war, and 153 of them are on the wall. It was a difficult time for those of us that were living then and of draft age or enlistment age. So if you happen to run into a Vietnam vet, you may find him standing near an off-ramp or living in a tent on a sidewalk near where you live. If you meet a Vietnam vet, why don't you thank him for having served to keep you safe from communist rule? As I was doing a lot of reading this last week, one of the articles that stuck out in my mind dealt with this series that we're finishing today called 7 Rewards on Praising God. This article spoke about Nathaniel Appleton. He was an early American preacher, an educator who passed away at the age of 90 He didn't quite get to be as old as you are, Francis. He passed away at the age of 90, just after we won the Revolutionary War. One of his sermons is entitled, "The Glory of Converting Grace to be Given to God." I'm not the only preacher who talks about giving our Lord his due with regard to our praise. He said, and I quote, "We must be careful to give all the glory to God. Although you ought to love and honor those that have been the means and instruments of your conversion, and may say in Romans chapter 10, verse 15, quote, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel, close quote. Yet you must look upon them only as the means and instruments, and must look above and beyond them all to Christ, as the author and the finisher of your faith, and to his Spirit, which has wrought powerfully and effectually in all them that believe." Close quote. The article went on to say, the psalmist wanted to make sure we pass all the praise and glory along to the Lord for all he has done. The psalm that he is speaking of is Psalm 115, verse 1. By ourselves and within ourselves, we can accomplish nothing of eternal value. The Lord works through us to achieve his purposes. So let's learn to say, quote, not unto us, O Lord, not unto us, but to your name give glory. Psalm 115, verse 1. So as we return to these seven rewards, we're reminded that the first reward that you and I get from praising him, it's like watching the worship team. As I'm down there and they're leading us in praise songs to him, I can't help but have my spirit lifted up and to have a smile on my face. That first reward lifts your spirit. Praise lifts our spirit. The second reward is praise helps you sense our Father God's presence. Excuse me. And nobody need run to the kitchen today. I have three bottles. Excuse me, four bottles of water. I may go through them today. The second reward, we talk about the sensing of Father God's presence. I hope you sense his presence as we're led in these musical prayers by Pastor Eugene and the team. There are times that I may not sense his presence, but normally I do, and I appreciate that so very much. Where I really sense his presence is when I am focusing on him, really focused on him. And that usually comes during my gnosko time, my deep personal experience time each day. It helps me to draw in that knowledge that he has promised, never to forsake me, never to leave me, but always to be with me. And I enjoy his presence. The Lord of hosts is with us. And Jesus said he would be with us always. The third reward we receive when we praise this wonderful Heavenly Father, his Son, and the Holy Spirit is, you can see in your notes, it enlarges our perception. It enlarges my discernment concerning him. I encouraged you to think about picking up a book on doctrine. Doctrine's just a great big seminary word for teaching. To read about his character, the character of Jesus, what we see in him because he came in the physicality of being the God-man. And it is in him that we actually see the attributes of our Father being acted out because he is the living image of our Heavenly Father. So as he comes into our lives through praise, we remember, as I shared with you last week, to begin to praise him as we come to know him. The clothes I have, the food we have in our refrigerator, all of these things, Kaiser Permanente, the hospital and medical system that has been provided me through my previous employment. These things are from Jehovah Jireh, the Lord who provides my needs. So as I think about him in my deep personal experience time, I can think about his being there, providing me with my needs. At $6 a gallon, he gave me some gas the other day to be able to get to where I needed to be going. He is the one that has provided the health I presently have, though it is diminished due to age and diabetes and blood pressure that is not as low as it should be. And that's because of a couple of you. But just kidding. Isn't that right, Nina? No. My blood pressure started going up when a little boy who's now about this tall, Ronnie, he's become quite the young man. Before, he was very much into everything, and the army kind of slowed him down, grew him up, and he's just back there trying to not smile, and I'm trying to keep him awake because he worked last night. So praising our Lord is going to increase our perception, our appreciation of him. I love the fact that he is my Jehovah Rapha. He is the one who brings healing to this old body of bones. He is my Jehovah Ra'ah. He is my shepherd. He is the one that leads me. He is the one who teaches me. He is the one who feeds me spiritually as well as physically. He is wonderful. So to know him and all about him, it helps me to praise him because he comes alongside each of you. When I hear of one of you having one of those major tests to find out what's going on, to discover what went wrong, it draws me closer to him because I know he is our healer and that he is the one that comes alongside to encourage us. The fourth reward is praise reveals solutions. Solutions that we don't often see until we spend that time with him in his word and we begin to read aloud what he has to say here and to whom he has to say it. And then I see him actually speaking to me at times, such as right now. I just opened this to chapter 10 of 2 Corinthians, and Paul says, Paul, entreat you by the meekness and gentleness of Christ. And I am humble when face to face with you, and likewise to sit down with him quietly for my deep personal experience time. He and I are now face to face, and he is humbling, and it's good to be humble and to have him point out areas that need to be humbled in your pastor's life to reduce this arrogance that he walks in from time to time. So this morning we pick up with your fifth reward. He loves you and he wants you to have this reward. Praise helps us remember Father God's blessings. In praising him, you bring to mind his blessings. Often when we're thinking about a big problem, it's all that we can think about. It colors everything else in our routine. It colors everything at work. It colors things to where we don't want to have our DPE time with him. We think the problem is so big. That's why when you have a disagreement with your spouse or a dear friend or a family member, a relative, it tends to become everything that you think about, and you find yourself not focusing on the Lord. And as we all know, and if you've learned anything, you've learned this little ditty, haven't you? Where your focus goes, your energy flows. And instead of thinking of him and the qualities that are his, that he has provided each of you who have been born again, these are the qualities that are eternal in you because they are his eternal qualities, and you can share these things with these people that you think you have or have come to know you actually have an issue with. But to love them for who they are, where they are, to be patient with them the way they are. Going through all of that fruit of the Spirit that should be luscious and hanging all over us so that we can be Christ, like Christ, to these individuals that are right now a bother to us. Praise can correct the imbalance. It reminds you that not everyone in your life or everything that's going bad in your life is really all that bad. As you look at this text that I've put there before you, it comes from a paraphrased Bible. I don't recommend it for most things, especially study. But I do appreciate the editor in what he had to say here in Psalm 105, verses 1 and 5. He says, thank God. Thank him. Now think about this. How often do you recall thanking him for something or several things during the week? Did he really come to mind often throughout the week for you to verbally thank him. I'm sure he was busy in all of our lives, each and every one of them. But did you thank him? Thank God. Pray to him by name. Like I shared with you, Jehovah Jireh, Jehovah Rapha, Jehovah Ra'ah. To know what those names mean. To thank him for who he is. To thank Jesus for being our Redeemer. He went into the slave marketplace where you were a slave to sin. You belonged to Satan, and he bought you out of the slave marketplace of sin. It's amazing that he went into that marketplace and could see me oozing with the characteristics of Satan. And he would say, I'm going to take him. I am going to take Ron to be my own. I've shared with you about going to high school reunions and what people have said. You were a cop? You're a pastor? I mean, you know, they're shocked to death because they knew me. They knew I was a disciple of Satan. Not that I thought I was, but nonetheless, that's the way I was living. Thank God. Pray to him by name. You are my God and my Father. You are my Lord and my Savior. You are my teacher and my guide, Holy Spirit. Pray to them by name. Tell everyone you meet what he has done. Did you talk to somebody this morning about what he's done in your life this last week? Did you encourage them by telling them this marvelous event that took place? Or maybe it wasn't even a great big event, but you could hardly wait to be able to praise him, praise his name, and share it with somebody else. Tell everyone you meet what he has done. These kids at Starbucks, I'm so glad that they're just nice kids. You know, they still belong in Satan's domain, but they let me talk to them about the Lord. You know, when Ronnie was taken, these kids knew about it. And so I got to go in and they gave me their free Starbucks. And I could tell other people about these kids like I'm telling you now. They don't know the Lord Jesus. But they took that free coffee that they get. I think they get one a day or something. And it was like, they just kind of lined up over the next couple of weeks, and I got free Starbucks. I didn't go in to take advantage of it because I didn't know that every day it was going to happen. But it was sure nice. And I know Nina is just really salivating right now. Sing him songs. Belt out hymns. Translate his wonders into music. Many of us, we sing in our car. Jim Bach gave me a CD to listen to after Friday's movie because Richard and Sabina Warmbrand, they were both Jewish before they became Christians. And this is a Jewish Christian who wrote these songs. They're really nice songs. And they're worship songs about our Lord. And I've been listening to that the last couple of days. to him every time I got in the car. Sing him songs. These songs that we sang this morning, they're about him. When I'm done here in a few minutes, you know, we're going to sing, "Worthy is the Lamb." When we think about that, why is he so worthy? Think of where the title probably comes from when the songwriter wrote it. As we read in John's gospel, not once but twice, John says, "Behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world." A few moments ago we were singing, "Jesus, what can I give? What can I bring to so faithful a friend, to so loving a king? Savior, what can be said? What can be sung as a praise to your name for the things you have done? Oh, my word could not tell, not even in part, of the debt of love that is owed by this thankful heart." You can pull out an old songbook and read lyrics during your DPE time, and it will enhance the warmth of your time as you speak words all about him, thanking him, making much of him, remembering these blessings. The text goes on and says, "Remember the world of wonders he has made." As I read other books, they draw me to thinking about him. Did you know that in 1 square mile in the Amazon jungle, there are 3,000 species of different trees? Why so many different trees? Because he is the artist par excellence. He is the creator, the best creator ever. And he created 3,000 different species of tree. Now that should grab you, Ryan. You are such involved in nature and all these things. Scientists, 350 billion galaxies they have identified. That means I haven't identified them all. 350,000. Excuse me. That's billion. Billion galaxies. And we live in only one of them. There's a caterpillar that has 228 separate, distinct muscles in his head. He is amazing. He is amazing. Remember the world of wonder that he has made. Take your hand. Take your hand. Put it up like this. Look, you're a bunch of charismatics now. Now, put it in front of your face like this. Now move those fingers around. Now, watch them. You know, they're losing weight. Just, you know, flex them. Look at that. All of those flanges. Now, take your hand and hold that thumb, and now you've crippled the hand. You know, but you can still use those four. But you put that thumb back. Look at that thumb. That's amazing. I mean, look what you can do with that hand. And then inside here, there's bones, flanges, and there's all of these muscles, and there's things that, you know, when I have to take my blood, you know, it hurts when that needle goes in there. And so there's these feelings, and hand, make a fist. My brain told it to do that. He made that to be able to do those things. It's amazing what he has done. I thank him most mornings that the sun is out where I live because of the colors of the houses and the trees and the mountains. I just love what I can see, because not everybody can see. And some people's eyes have been diminished. My mother, she loved nature. Oh, she loved it tremendously. She loved going to the Japanese garden over, you know, in Sepulveda. She loved going over to the Huntington out there and off of the 210. She just loved those things. And when macular degeneration robbed her of her sight, I felt so bad for her. And her not being able to see, and I can. I just thank him all the time. There are times when I can't, I have plantar fasciitis at times, and I can't walk on my foot. And other people are just, you know, running and jogging. And because of the injuries received as a police officer, I can't run anymore. I can't even walk for more than 10 or 12 minutes without having to sit down. But I'm not complaining, because you see, I get to walk for 10 or 12 minutes. And now I've got one of those little blue placards in my car, and I get to park closer than you do. Until your back starts giving you fits. Remember the world of wonders he has made, his miracles, when he walked on water, when he went to the wedding and they ran out of wine and he made water into wine. And the miracle, he saved my soul, more importantly to me. His miracles and the verdicts he rendered. We read ahead in the Word of God, and we see in this love letter that finally, people like Mr. Putin, Mr. Adolf Hitler, Gaddafi, these people are going to get their comeuppance. There's going to be a great white throne judgment. And these people that are now in hell are coming out of hell, and they're going to stand before the Savior, and they're going to receive the verdict. And that verdict is they're going into the lake of fire. Satan finally gets it. His demons finally get it. The Antichrist and his prophet are going to get it. And sadly enough, some of your friends and mine are going to go into the lake of fire. Will it be because they rejected the gospel, or we were derelict in sharing it with them? Tell him about these things. Use these things to talk about his blessings. When you have a problem, you tend to focus on the negative. And our Lord wants you to focus on the positive. He's given us every reason in those first two series that we had at the beginning of this year. We're almost headed into the fourth month of the year. But during those first two series, they were nothing but encouragements to us. And if we would apply what's in those message notes into our lives, we too are going to receive all the blessings that are marked in them for us. Our focus needs to move away from the negative and into the positive, and remember that our Lord Jesus comes as the fumigator, and he will wipe away all of the automatic negative thoughts, those ants that plague some of us in our lives. So action step, here's your fill-in. Make a list of all the blessings that have come to your mind. Make a list. Now, I've said this in the way past as something to do, and you didn't do it then. Humor me. Bless yourself and make the list of blessings. Write them out, because these things are going to uplift you. You're going to sense His presence. You're going to see things that were hidden before, but now they come to light. All of these rewards will begin to happen. Make the list. I'm saved. Write it down. Write down these things on your list. You're saved. If you're married, the Lord gave you a faithful spouse. If you've got kids, He's given me two beautiful daughters, and He gave me a handsome son, and He has taken my handsome son to be with Him and to keep him safe in heaven. He has given me 7 grandchildren. Write it down. He has given me friends that accept me the way I am in my imperfections. Write them down. Go to them and thank them, especially the ones that have me for a friend. Write down these things, your great salvation, what Jesus did yesterday with you. I'm sitting there in my easy chair and going over the message for today, and He's there with me and helping me to see things I hadn't seen, and I wrote them down. He's there with me, making life real. I have this wife for over half a century. Half a century this woman has put up with me. She's been trying to train me a particular way for 52 years. She is a glutton for punishment, but she, you know, she keeps trying. She has hope. She has hope, optimism, positivity, and she's encouraged. Because I have changed. There's still a lot of changes. Write these things down, family. Then ask your spouse or a friend to remind you of blessings. I have you as a church family. I mean, some of you have chosen to draw near and to be close. Some of you have chosen not to, and that's okay. We can't be close to everybody. But nonetheless, I'm blessed. I am blessed. As you come to mind, I have pictures of most of you. You didn't know that, did you? And I try at every occasion. Soup and sings, I try to. You think those pictures are for who knows what? They're for me to put on a chrome ring so I can pray and look at your pretty, handsome face as I pray for you throughout the week. I like those things. Those things help me. So ask your spouse or your friend to help you remember blessings. Write it down. You'll be surprised. You'll be at page 3 or 4, and it just continues the flow, the blessings that our Lord has given to you. I mean, again, I'm not picking on Ryan today or Ariel, but you know, they're right there, and they both have masks on, and I don't know if they're going to go out and rob a bank after church or just what, but you know, I watched Ryan grow up from a little guy. I have a picture of he and his brother and his mom and his dad, and I think they're out on the Oregon Trail somewhere. But here's this little guy, and I'm still praying for him, even though he towers over me now. Not to mention Ronnie. I mean, his parents bless me by wanting to know if they can name him after me. And A lot of people don't know that. And I'm very proud of that because that is one exciting, smart, exceedingly smart young man. And he has a tremendous future ahead of him. But don't pick on him just because he's named after me. So as you write out your lists, if you think you've forgotten somebody, then write me down at the bottom. Remember Abba's blessings in your life. The sixth reward is praise enlists Father God's protection. It enlists our Heavenly Father's protection. As I praise my Lord, I am asking Him to protect me. Say that with me. As I praise my Lord, I am asking Him to protect me. When you praise Jesus for an answer to your prayer before it happens, that's faith. I thank the Lord for the next 12 people that are going to come into our church family. I'm already praising Him for it. I've got the staff praying for the next 30 families that are going to be coming into the church. We're praying in faith for them. And here's an observation that comes from 2 Chronicles chapter 20. We read about three enemy nations who ganged up on Israel. The only chance Israel had was for Father God's to do miraculous things to save them. So King Jehoshaphat organized an unusual battle plan. He put a choir. He took the worship team. He took Pastor Eugene and my brother and Barbara and Tanner. And Katie, so sorry you joined the team here before you go back to the Midwest. If we have a battle, we're going to put you out front. That's what he did. So King Jehoshaphat organized an unusual battle plan. He put the choir in front of the army as they marched into battle. The Bible says as soon as the Israelites started praising God, confusion ensued with the enemy armies. They became all mixed up, all goofed up in their thinking. And the enemy was defeated. Is that not great? You put the worship team out there in front. Action step. The Lord wants to fight your battles too, so take time to praise Him in advance. Praise Him in advance, in faith. I like that. In Romans 8:37, the second part of that verse, we are more than conquerors through Him, through Jesus who loved us. We're more than conquerors. Don't forget that. Don't go back into the world. Don't have somebody reading off negative thoughts your direction. You think the positive thoughts. You put your thoughts back on Jesus. And you remember that He's there and He has a plan for you. And you are more than conquerors. In 1 John chapter 5 and verse 4 and 5, where it is through faith that we find ourselves overcoming the world. Through faith, because we're more than conquerors. Jesus is our Lord and our Savior. He goes before us. Jamie Owens Collins wrote this song of praise. In heavenly armor, will enter the land. The battle belongs to the Lord. Think of that. Remember that. In heavenly armor, you are always wearing the armor of God. in heavenly armor will enter the land. The battle belongs to the Lord. No weapon that is fashioned against us will stand. The battle belongs to the Lord. Don't forget that. Reward number 7. Praise breaks chains and opens doors. Praise breaks chains and opens doors. You or others, you know, probably have certain things that are holding you in place, keeping you from moving ahead. You might feel stuck, like nothing has changed in your life for the better. It sounds odd, but there's no better time for you to thank Abba Father than right now in the midst of your challenge. Paul did this with Silas in Acts 16. In Acts 16, we see in the middle of the night, midnight. I don't know that I'd like to have been one of the other prisoners with Paul and Silas, but they're in there. And bear in mind, they've been beaten with rods. At the very least, they have bone bruises. They may have fractures. Or these rods are such that they break bones. That's their intent. But they've been preaching the gospel. They're in jail, and they're there with other prisoners. And they're praising the Lord in song. Can you imagine? I'd love to ask Andrew, who works down at Men's Central Jail, if one of their inmates began to sing praises to God, what that would be like. But here in the text, in Acts 16, 26, the prison was shaken to the foundation. I can just see, the cameraman. He's moving the camera and jiggling it and so forth. And you have people inside there, and they're moving back and forth, but they've been told to do that. So to make it look like there's an earthquake that's taking place. And dust, you got a guy up there out of the camera site. You can't see him. He's boom, sawdust down there on everybody. And it looks like you've got this earthquake that's taking place. And all of a sudden, the manacles, they fall off of Paul and Silas and everybody else. And it looks like, the jail has been burst open. The chains of every prisoner fell. The jailer comes out. And under Roman law, if he lost a single prisoner, he's going to have to fall on his sword and commit suicide. So he comes out and he sees what he sees. And Paul says, hey, it's okay. It's okay. We're all still here. That's a miracle. That's a miracle. The chains have fallen off. Everyone. The story is a miracle, but it's also a metaphor for what the Holy Spirit does in our lives when we learn to praise Him throughout each day, and particularly as we enter into times of challenge. The Apostle John was imprisoned on a little barren island. Not quite like Maui. But it's also a metaphor, his being on this island, to see what the Holy Spirit was doing. You see, Patmos was the Romans' equivalent to the Nazis' Auschwitz or Dachau, a prison camp, a death camp. Would you show that map, please? There aren't many really good maps of Patmos. You're all familiar here with Arabia, where Jesus spent 3 years with Paul after he got away from Damascus and was saved. But up here you have Tarsus, where Paul lived, And it's here in Syria, Antioch, you'll recall, where the son of encouragement goes and picks up Paul to help him in preaching the gospel in Antioch. But over here, Ephesus, you go right out here just off the coast. You can barely see it. Jeff Patmos. You have that itty-bitty island. Maybe right now you are on your little itty-bitty island of Patmos. In other words, you feel imprisoned by life circumstances. You may be living in an unhappy marriage. You may be confined to a sick bed. Maybe you are a person that's going to listen to this message online, and you're at home in a sick bed, or in a hospital room, or in a prison, in your cell. It can feel pretty lonely sometimes. But Father God can work in these Patmos experiences in your life. In fact, they may become times of great spiritual insight and growth for you. The worst things that I can think of that have happened in my life, he used over the course of time to change me for the better. Each of them. I had to sit down and think it through. But during those deep personal experiences with Jesus, he is very willing to point things out. The fact is this, if you look at your notes, as our Lord revealed himself to John, he wants to reveal himself to you. He wants to reveal himself to you when you get back the medical report that says things don't look so good. When the divorce papers arrive in the mail, when the business goes belly up, when someone you've trusted has hurt you or let you down, when your parents divorce, or when your child runs away. You can turn from Abba Father in rebellion, or you can turn to him in prayer and praise. Action step. When you need to be set free from your island of Patmos, your automatic negative thoughts, an addiction or habit, praise Jesus. Praise him. It'll break the chains holding you back. I know people in each of those experiences that can speak into your life if you're interested, and they will speak praise concerning your Lord and theirs and mine. Looking at your notes, my challenge for you this year is to learn to make praise your natural response for everything you face, good or bad. You know, if I smash my thumb, I don't just automatically say, as I'm working on something, oh, it's going to feel so good once it stops hurting. It's more like, Lord, what? Why not Satan, you son of a gun? Oftentimes, we pick on the Lord, don't we? It won't be natural for you, but you can do it with lots of deep personal experience with Jesus. Develop the habit in your life and encourage your family, your church family, and Christian friends to do the same. And then see what the Holy Spirit does. See what he does. In reality, family, as you read this love letter, you will find more than 7 rewards awaiting you. But they're waiting for you in here to discover in your DPE with him. So there they are. Go get them. Get it? Good. Let's pray. Oh, Father, how grand and good and great. And I don't want to overuse the word bodacious you are. It is such a good word, such a when you define it. You certainly are most bodacious, Heavenly Father. And Father, we thank you that in spite of ourselves, you decided long before we were even born to have this book created and to provide for us the knowledge that you want to gift us with rewards. The greatest reward we have is in responding to your grace through faith, another gift that you've provided us. But by your grace through faith, we have been rewarded with a salvation we don't deserve. A salvation that we can't do anything to keep it. It's just ours because of your grace, your kindness, your love. You're drawing us into your family forever and ever. So, Father, might we put into practice messages that you provide us, that we can be those people that share the light of Scripture with other people who need to know about these rewards and how they can enjoy them too. Help us to be messengers of this love letter to people who have yet to hear. And especially those that need encouragement. Help my family to know if they're in the presence of somebody who is clinically depressed, they have been placed in that person's life to be a blessing from you. Please, Father, may we be the ultimate encouragers in Christ, for we pray it in his name. Amen.